Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Against All Certainty is the debut spoken word album from Uachtaráin na hÉireann. It was actually recorded in Áras an Uachtaráin, the speech part of it. Michael D. Higgins did his poetry up there. The album was released last Friday, instantly receiving acclaim for its insight into the president's personal life, wonderfully accompanied by the emotive ambient melodies of musician and filmmaker Miles O'Reilly. And Miles joins us now in studio. Good afternoon, Miles.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There it is, Against All Certainty, a collection of poems by Michael D. Higgins with accompanying music by Miles O'Reilly. Why do you laugh?
Because it's still surreal. I'm still pinching myself, really.
Yeah.
To be honest.
We'll get the story of how it came about, but it was launched on Friday night in the National Concert Hall. For those of us who weren't lucky enough to get tickets, tell us what happened there.
It was a wonderful celebration, really, of Michael D. But the artists, very finely curated by himself. I mean, his favourite artists were there. Paul Brady played Lakes of Pontchartrain, for instance. You know, there was just lots of legends. And in between the musical acts, we got to do a poem. I got to do all the poems from the album with different speakers. And then the president himself got up and did two poems as well to the audience there.
Which two poems did he do?
So he did The Death of Mary Doyle, which is on the album.
Yes.
It's actually a very, very beautiful poem about the death of a woman, a farmer who lived on her own, and it was the animals that saw her away as opposed to people. Very beautiful.
She went out to her barn to die.
To die, yeah. And she had all the memories of those animals that she's tended to all those years, and they were possibly the closest creatures to her, you know. And then he did the poem Against All Certainty, which is also in the album, which is...
The title track, I suppose.
The title track, and definitely the most rock and roll track on the album. Yeah. It might resemble a song. You know.
We played a bit of that because that was released before the album was released.
Yeah.
So we know that Michael D. Higgins is a poet, and he's been writing poetry. He's in, I think, four collections of poetry over the years. How did the collaboration between you and him come about?
Well, It didn't surprise me that Clatter Records had gone to Áras and recorded about 3 hours of Michael saying poems. They recorded it beautifully with a lovely microphone and the rest. And it also didn't surprise me that I had done some work with Ronan O'Snodick and Clatter.
We had you in over in Studio 10.
And they brought out our album. We were very happy about that. And it was just a nice collaboration, and the people in there are lovely. So I think they thought it was a good fit then.
Describe to people what you do, Miles.
So I make moods.
You make moods, right?
I do.
Musical moods.
Musical moods. It's basically like making a scent or perfume or, you know, the smell of a kitchen, making the kitchen alive with cooking. You know?
Right.
It's just a room without the smell of cooking. So I create moods to back up dialogue. And I did it when I was, as a documentary filmmaker, I did it a lot. I'd have a small glow going under even this conversation, just to kind of inform the theme of what we're talking about, you know, and back it up and amplify the mood. So all I wanted to do with this album from Michael D was amplify a mood. I didn't want to have to stand out. There's no real big musical passages, you know, but there is this glow under his words that just like it decreases the gap between the poet and the listener.
So Clatter Records got on to you. Will you do some music for President's poetry?
Will you do some of those moods that you've done for Ronan O'Snodick, basically?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And then what did you get then?
So I got the 3 hour recording.
Okay, right.
And I got the 3 hour recording, and it was all the poems, and it was very overwhelming. But thankfully, they did earmark one for me to begin with. Which was great. I went straight to that song and put some ambient music underneath it, and it worked beautifully. So then I was able to just kind of pick the right mood. I spent another day picking the right mood, and before I knew it, I had picked another 9
moods,
poems and moods, and made an album. It was just very quick.
So you used the word overwhelming there, because firstly, it's the president.
Yes.
Yeah. It's his debut. You know, he's coming to the end of two stints in Áras an Uachtaráin. And the other, I suppose, bigger fundamental challenge is that poetry, you know, you know, it's you're supposed to interpret it, and he even says that in the introduction to his first poem. It's you know, because the words live on long after, and people do with them what they wish. I'm paraphrasing them now. So to for you to second guess the mood, I suppose that's what you had to do, did you?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I got more information from the kind of the quiver in his voice in between songs. I could tell. There are different moods. He reads them with a different cadence every time, and it was the kind of, there's one song where he's quite fragile, and there's one song where he's quite assertive. And so that would have more or less guided the mood. That's just a simple thing, really.
So, what you did, and it must have been a chat between you and Clatter Records, but in recording the poems, or Snookdrawn in his library, Michael De Higgins decided to contextualise each of them to give us a little introduction, and you decided to leave those in.
Oh, I had to. I thought they're so beautiful.
Yeah. So this is the intro to the first poem, the poem that opens up the album, which is called The Truth of Poetry, and this is just an excerpt from the intro.
That means, I think, really, that it, the poem is never simply described, because, yes, there are words, and words have been my entire life. But as well as that, there are the words actually delivered. But yet again, there is the effect of the poem and how it will be taken or used in the future. It has a life of its own.
You see, that's what I was alluding to earlier on, yeah. And we just take a little bit of that poem then, The Truth of Poetry, music by Miles and words, of course, by Michael D. Higgins.
In the beginning, the truth of poetry is a light, sheltered yet no mere spark of a moment, exhausted, ephemeral. The truth of poetry flickers as the fire takes. Truth-making feeds the flames that blaze again, become beautiful in the light, and in the fire is seen for a moment, possibility unquenchable, transformed, reborn out of time, out of decay. As the flames rise, the turf expires. Not yet is this an answer such fire as truth requires, is from a source inexhaustible.
And when you heard him, the 3 hours of his recordings, you imagined him somewhere.
Yes, I did. I'm not a great reader. I'll say that I'm self-diagnosed ADHD. I know myself very well now at this point. But to listen to him, I visualized the situations he was describing. Definitely in the poem Brothers, it's very visual. And I could see him as a small child in the back of his auntie and uncle's car driving to his new home, and I could feel the nervousness in him. But just to visualise it meant, as a filmmaker, I've made a lot of films about music, I was able to really know how to soundtrack it once I could see it.
In your heads.
Yeah.
And you were saying there that your music, your mood music, provides scaffolding for his words. And that when you closed your eyes, you'd listened to all the recordings quite a number of times before you...
Yes, I did. Well, do you know, I quickly realised that I wanted to build my narrative around him as a child. I learned so much from listening to those particular poems of him as a child and him growing up. And I don't think we know a lot about that in Ireland, you know. And it's fascinating to learn how he grew up. It's actually, it was a traumatic life.
Yeah, you mentioned Brothers there. This is the 15th of August, 1946. And this is the intro to that poem, Brothers.
I think that there is no doubt whatsoever that there are significant dates and events in my own life that have had a particular effect. Whether I like it or not, they keep recurring to me, even in later years. And I think the 15th of August, 1946, is that date. It is a date when, at the age of 5, and my brother 4, and my sisters were just short of 6 years old, we parted from each other. My father had become ill.
There's distress there.
Yeah. Already. Yes, there is, but and also, I mean, it doesn't leave his voice. These fragile emotions, as he's saying the poems, and I think the way they were recorded in the room in the Oris, away from a stage, I think it's very sincerely read and very very sincere.
Because there's a picture in this lovely. I don't know if it's limited edition or not, but it's a little book with the CD, and there's a picture of the recording in the library in the Oris, and they had an overhead microphone which they use in dramas rather than a microphone under his mouth, which means that he was blissfully unaware of it. Yes, yeah. Probably delivered a better performance as a result.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. The other night in the National Concert Hall, it's beautiful to see him perform the poems as well. But for this recording, it's more of a kind of storytelling by the fireside. Yeah. And I even put the sounds of a fire in there.
You did, yeah, I can hear those, the little crackle.
The little crackle, yeah.
So his dad became ill, and there were four children under the age of seven. So his aunt and uncle took himself and his brother off to live elsewhere. Yeah. And I suppose that shaped him as a person.
Yeah, I mean, it's most of these childhood memories of his are so beautifully described, and you can really see he can join the dots, you know.
Yeah, he was sort of lucky with the where his parents got married. You know, from a poet's point of view, because it's you know my mother married my father in Mount Mellery.
Yeah.
See, like I would have said my mother married my father in Kildare. It just doesn't make the same language. You see what I'm saying? But so this is track 5. My mother married my father in Mount Mellery in 1937. We'll take an excerpt from that.
My mother married my father in Mount Mellery in 1937. Those photos were the most precious from before. She in slight profile, her best side. He fresh and determined. A strong face, they say. She wore her leather coat for the going away. And he a blue-grey jacket. In its lapel a badge, given as a gift among many blessings by the monk who performed the ceremony. My mother married my father in Mount Mellery in 1937.
I know you can't be prescriptive, but how would you suggest people listen to this album?
Like I did, I suppose the way I did, eyes closed, maybe holding a brandy, maybe the fire is lit. It's definitely a wintry album. I think storytelling comes to life during the winter, to be honest. It's more of a Samhain event, you know? It's so dark. So it's really one I think you should spend your time on your own with as well. I don't think it's one you put on at a party to try and liven things up.
Probably not going to work, yeah. Isn't it very special, and you must appreciate this, that you know he's been president for 2 terms of office. He's coming to the end of 14 years in Orson Uchtaron. So it's a big moment in his life. And for you to be involved at this juncture in his life, that's quite special.
It's quite special, all right. I think it'll be sinking in for some time, you know.
Yeah. I was passing through Dundrum Town Centre the other day, and they've moved the Golden Discs. So yeah, when you're on your way out to the car park, you have to pass by it. Anyway, the album was everywhere.
Brilliant.
It was in the window, it was in vinyl, it was in CD form, every form.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I hope he gets to number one this week. It's the only week we can actually get him to number one. So
Why so?
Well, the greatest chances are this week.
Yes.
I think he needs something like 3,000 points, 3,000 sales to even have a chance. And so if we just get to that, I think we're close. So
yeah. I don't know if you've done any research on this, but are there any other presidents or heads of state that have recorded an album of poetry?
I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not quite sure. There was... I can't think of one.
No.
I just cannot. Even just poetry albums with music, it's a bit of a stretch to think of one. Captain Kirk.
Oh, yes.
Didn't he release many of them?
What's his name again? I didn't know his name. It'll come to me. Captain Kirk. Yeah, because he used to visit here a lot.
Yeah.
He recorded, what's he recording? Anyway, the final track 10 is Stargazer, and he dedicated this to his mother-in-law Mary Coyne. And it's about women of the land who were very well read. And we'll play a clip of that, Stargazer, from Against All Certainty, Michael D. Higgins.
She stands supported by her stick in front of the gilt mirror, her husband bought in a mad moment after selling the calves in Claremorris in the first year of their marriage. Neck stretched back, she drops the lotion in her one good eye. The tears come and she remembers in her solitary kitchen times when she stretched her neck back to show the stars to her seven children. Uranus, Mars, Venus and the Milky Way. In the canopy over Claremorris, she had traced the moon with her bright bride's eyes. The tears come from a one good eye for her scattered children and her children's children, seed of her seed. The range is colder than once was warm. On it she rests her hand and remembers times when pressing her forehead against the warm udder of a cow, reluctant milk giver, she told them stories from Dickens of ham and twist. And always they would say, "But tonight will you show us the stars?" She stretches back again to drop the lotion in her one good eye.
Do you have a favourite?
I think I like My Mother Married because for me, I think the music for me personally, every time I listen to My Mother Married, I tear up. I don't know what's going on.
And there's a loop on that, a sort of piano loop.
There's just a piano. It's really just the whole thing. I mean, it's 7 minutes, but the piano loop is only 6 seconds and it repeats for 6 seconds. But I find different ways of making it interesting, you know.
Yeah. So you say you're self-diagnosed ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And how does your ADHD interact with, say, a project like this or music in general?
Yeah, well, I don't read music and it's a very personal process for me. I have my own language for it. I've always developed my creative abilities on my own. I've never been a great team player for that reason, you know. Very on my own with the process. So it's why a lot of my art does feel very personal and vulnerable at times, you know. With this, you know, just things like visualizing it instead of actually reading it, you know, to be able to know what the mood of it is, you know, things like that. Or I have a heightened visual vocabulary, for instance, to make up for my lack of words, you know.
And I was watching a documentary about ADHD recently. Michael Mosley's wife subjected herself to the online test or whatever because she suspected that she might have ADHD, and as it turns out, she didn't. But one of the things that I wasn't familiar with was hyperfocus.
Yes, the hyperfocus thing has suited me down to the ground, to be fair.
So go on.
It's like once you decide to start working on whatever it is you're working on, especially if it's a project that's close to you, that's not facilitating for somebody else. Once you decide, you don't finish doing it until you stop. And you could be 9 hours, 10 hours. You could forget to drink, eat.
Right.
I am making an album with Ronan, for instance. I think that was 5 days straight hyperfocus, where Ronan literally had to pour water down my neck and hand me food because I just wouldn't have stopped to do anything else.
And this one, you got it done very quickly as well.
Yes, I did. I went into a hyperfocus mode for about 2 weeks with it. There were a few poems were earmarked, and when it worked so well, when I put my music under them and it worked so well, I was like, well, I just have to keep going.
Yeah.
So I did choose the other poems on the album and just finish it for them immediately.
I was reading, and this is an odd image, but so you got the 3 hours of recordings, and then you went off to Thailand. Did you brought the recordings with you?
Yes, so, I had a holiday.
So you were sitting on a beach somewhere listening to Michael D. Higgins say poetry.
Yeah,
right.
I was. Yeah, it was a great thing actually to do. Yeah, It's great when you're away like that and you've got no other responsibilities, especially with an ADHD mind, because we have all these apps and background processing going in our brains all the time, and multitasking isn't a problem. We love that. But to be able to really focus, some people need to really focus. They need medication to do it. But if I go away and I do it regularly, I go away from Ireland. I don't bring the patterns with me, and I swipe off the programs in my head, and I can really kind of focus on what I want.
And does music provide solace? Does it ease the chattering monkeys?
100%.
Are there chattering monkeys with ADHD?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there are. There's always kind of programs running, and I can tap into any one of them that are still going on. Like, why am I still thinking about you? And there's a purpose to it. It's kind of, they call it the hunter-gatherer brain. You know, it's like, it's more attuned to the present moment and how to survive in the present moment. You know,
I don't know if this is going to be, any of these are going to be on the Radio 1 playlist.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't matter anymore, does it? Because the way people consume music.
Yeah.
It's so bespoke now.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie in Tip says, we were so lucky to have been in the National Concert Hall on Friday night. An absolute privilege and a beautiful night. And was Miriam Bradley there as well? Because we had her on recently. She said she was invited to play.
She was.
She is a talent, isn't she?
She is amazing. Yeah. Like, it's almost, she's kind of ancient as well, really, isn't she?
Her voice. Old head on young shoulders. Yeah. Musically.
And Brian McLean is another one of those characters, you know, very young. But he was playing with Andy Irvine. That was lovely to see. Because I know that Andy Irvine has been a hero of Brian's for a long time. And then, of course, Andy Irvine and Paul Brady had that relationship ways, and they were both in the building, you know. That must have been very exciting for him to witness that.
And of course, Michael D, and it's well documented, has championed the arts forever and been hugely consistent in that.
Even introducing
legislation back in the day.
It's just wonderful that we had a poet as a president, you know.
Yeah. Big shoes to fill.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, will he have a number one before he leaves the Oars? That's the big question we're asking today. Michael D. Higgins, Against All Certainty, with accompanying music by Miles O'Reilly. Miles, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Congratulations again.
Pleasure.
Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.